CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Ukraine Business News editor James Brook, Jim Brook, a veteran of many years reporting on Europe and Asia for the New York Times, now reporting on Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, and the rest of this fragmented country that is a profound part of the European economy. The news this morning, however, affects everybody because it's about the U.S. and Germany. I read from the London Times. The U.S. and Germany have reached a deal agreement to allow the completion of a gas pipeline from Russia. Nord Stream 2, which runs beneath the Baltic Sea between Russia and Germany, will double Russia's natural gas exports to Europe once it is completed next month. Washington has previously argued that the pipeline would give Russia increased sway in Europe at the expense of Ukraine, the traditional route for Russian gas exports. However, President Biden has also been keen to improve relations with Germany after they were damaged by the Trump administration and decided it was too late to stop the pipeline being finished. According to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. agreed to reverse its opposition to the project in exchange for Germany agreeing to provide support to Ukraine on energy-related projects and diplomacy. I stop there because the deal gets very complicated. Jim, a very good day to you in Kyiv. The conversation between the U.S. and Germany is significant for the prosperity, for the success of Ukraine. I note, however, as many of the reports do, that Ukraine was not at the table. Is this a problem, Jim? How do you measure this? Good day to you.
Good day, John. Good day from Kyiv, where we're getting a lot of rain. It will be a problem for Ukraine, but they're just going to have to live with it. They don't have a lot of choices here. The U.S. envoy was in Kyiv today and is going to Warsaw this afternoon. And apparently President Zelensky did not receive him. So the U.S. envoy met with the prime minister instead. If Zelensky wants to have his meeting with Biden next month in the White House, he'll have to suck it up and accept this deal. The problem is the Ukrainians really don't trust deals. They trust capacities. And the pipeline was sort of a tripwire. It was a disincentive, let's say, for Russia to send big military assets into Ukraine because the EU depended on the gas coming out of that pipeline. So you take the pipeline off the chessboard and Ukraine has to rely on the promises of other countries and its own army, which is the second largest army in Europe. So it's a battle-tested army and it has incentive to defend its homeland. But the promises have not worked out very well. There's something that very few Americans know about called the Budapest Memorandum. Under that deal, if Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons, which it did in 1994, the U.S., the U.K., and Russia would guarantee its sovereignty. Well, 20 years later, Russia just invaded Ukraine and grabbed Crimea and grabbed a corner of what's called the Donbas. So treaties and promises are really not worth the paper they're written on from the Ukrainian point of view. It's really capacity. And with the Nord Stream pipeline, Russia will not need the pipeline across Ukraine, and Russia will feel it can do whatever it wants to with Ukraine.
The provisions so far, what we know of this agreement, has a way of punishing Russia if it weaponizes, that's the word that's used, if it weaponizes its energy resources by either bypassing Ukraine with additional natural gas or depriving Ukraine of natural gas. The provisions so far, as I understand them, mean that Germany will provide Ukraine with natural gas. It can get very complicated because you know the history of Russia is that they love to be aggressive and then talk about it without changing behavior. I note here that according to the London Times, Germany and the U.S. are investing $50 million in Ukrainian green tech infrastructure, including renewable energy. Is that a significant investment? Is that a significant policy change, Jim, to your understanding?
Well, the deal apparently calls for U.S. and Germany to support a $1 billion green energy fund, which would invest in energy efficiency here and alternatives to gas. The Germans are very big on Ukraine developing green hydrogen inside Ukraine and using the pipeline to ship it west to Germany. That'll be great. We are really relying on the promises of politicians, which have not often helped Ukraine in the past.
Jim, I read at Ukraine Business News, in order to sell the agreement to Ukraine and Poland, these countries are both involved in these considerations. The State Department is sending a counselor, Derek Chollet, who will meet with officials in Kyiv and in Warsaw. I follow your reporting. The mission's goal is to discuss, quote, our shared concerns about Nord Stream 2 pipeline and energy security. Again, I'm puzzled why Warsaw and Kyiv were not at the table, but that the facts are that the counselor is coming to discuss this with Mr. Zelensky. Do we accept a warm welcome, or do we accept a long list of questions? What's your thinking on this, Jim?
Yeah, he's actually been here. He met with Ukraine officials, and he's already flown to Warsaw. He did not meet with Zelensky. He met with the prime minister. I think Zelensky sees us as a political kryptonite, green kryptonite, and does not want to be associated with blessing this deal. It will be very unpopular inside Ukraine. That said, if Zelensky wants his meeting at the White House, his state visit to the White House in August, he'll have to suck it up and accept it. Ukrainians really don't have any choice. I mean, who else is going to help defend Ukraine? Obviously not China, and Russia's the aggressor. So they have to get along with their partner, economic and military partner, which is the EU, NATO, and the U.S. So they don't really have much of a choice. They just have to put a nice ribbon on it and accept it and try to get the best deal, the most money out of the Germans as possible.
Ukrainian economy in general, natural gas is a major contributor to the GDP, but your page is reporting prosperity or growth year over year. Many countries are. Is this expected? Is this a disappointment? I don't know how to measure it for how Kyiv believes its role now in the recovery.
Well, it's actually been a good recession, maybe a good pandemic. All the key commodities that Ukraine produces are up. I'm talking about iron and steel. I'm talking about corn and wheat. Food prices are at a 10-year high. So Ukraine is doing very well on the export side. Ukraine is actually a net importer of gas, and gas prices have increased sevenfold in Europe this summer. So that's a big negative. But everything kind of balances out, and there's approaching almost a trade surplus, which is good. The growth will probably be about 4% this year, which cancels out last year's 4% contraction. So we're kind of at the even stage. Ukraine is a very strong IT industry, and that grew last year by double digits. So ag is good, IT is good, metals are good. So the economy is in fairly good shape.
Finally, about a minute, Jim. The virus, the Delta variant, dominates the headlines in London. It certainly does here in the United States and in Moscow. Is it routine now to see people masked on the streets in Ukraine and challenged about vaccination when they go into restaurants? We have less than a minute.
People only wear masks when they go into stores. There are very few masks on the street. No demands for vaccination cards. Only about 5% of the population has been vaccinated. So they're just getting that underway. And Delta variant is coming in, so it's a race against the Delta variant.
And the race right now is unclear. I'm speaking with James Brooke. Jim Brooke is the editor and a guru of Ukraine Business News. We're looking at the report from Washington and Berlin of a deal struck about Nord Stream 2. There will be more on this matter. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.